Okay, if you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn to Isaiah chapter 48. Isaiah chapter 48. We're going to speak today about being thankful that Jesus leads us. You know, just imagine what it would be if going through life we didn't have a leader. We didn't have Jesus to guide us every step of the way. You know, a lot of times we figure, well, we got through first grade and second grade and fifth grade and eighth grade and got through it all. But you know, anywhere you go, you can do it better with the Lord. When He is there, it's so much easier. In Isaiah chapter 48, in verse 17, it says, "Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God, which teaches thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go." Then there's a psalm, and I'm sure most of you are familiar with Psalm 23. Psalm 23 in verse 2 says this, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake." David was the king over Israel. David was a leader of the people. And yet, David needed to be led himself by God. David had to be led. And God was his leader. And so he writes in the 23rd Psalm that God leads him through the waters. He leads him in paths of righteousness, shows him the right way to go, what to do. And that's an exciting thing when you consider that the same God that David had, we have today. We need leading. The world today is a landmine. You boys know what a landmine field is? When it's mined, a person can walk and then all of a sudden an explosion takes place because somebody had hidden the mine in that field. And that's what life is today.
That's wrong.
That is absolutely wrong. But that's what people do in war.
That's what they all
do. Over in, if you will, turn with me to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. When we try to avoid problems by ourselves, we get into trouble, and it results in disappointment. We don't have the knowledge about this life that God does. And again, going back to the illustration of a minefield, who knows what is in a minefield? How can you tell? You have to get from one place to another, and you have to go through a field in between. And they say there are mines out there, but they don't know where. Humanly, it's hard to tell because you didn't set those mines. But there is somebody who knows where every mine is. He has gone through that field safely, and He's about to lead us when we depend upon Him. But there is the problem. A lot of people don't depend. In John chapter 15, let's take a look at verse 5. Jesus says, "I'm the vine, you're the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me," and here this last part has so many applications, so many things that are important about it. It says, "Without me," Jesus says, "you can do what?"
Nothing.
Nothing. Without me, you can do nothing. So that means if you're going through that minefield and you say, "Well, I'm going to take my chances," you're going to get blown up. That means as you go through the highway of life, there are mines that Satan has planted all along there. Jesus knows where they are, and He is able to steer us around. I've seen so many young people make wrong decisions in the people that they marry. I've seen people make wrong decisions when they got down and depended on friends to guide them. They got guided into drugs. They got guided into booze. They got guided into the wrong activities. And they didn't depend upon Jesus. It's a minefield out there. We have to depend upon Him because He knows where all these things are. Without me, He said, you can do nothing. Let's go over to Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. The Lord leads us into higher experiences. I spoke with somebody recently. They were talking about a young person, and the fellow I was talking to said, well, this young person is average when it comes to being a Christian. And I asked, well, what do you consider to be an average Christian? And he said, well, she reads the Bible maybe once a day. Sometimes she skips. She prays before meals most of the time. She tries not to cuss and tries not to get mad at people. And that's what he considers to be an average Christian. Well, you know, it wasn't very many years ago that would not be considered an average Christian. As a matter of fact, that would be considered a very weak Christian. And the average today is getting worse and worse. As believers, we need a deeper experience with the Lord. We need to be seeking after Him. You know, we serve the same God today that David did in the Old Testament, that Abraham did. He's the very same God. And He is available to us to learn about Him, to come closer to Him. And you know, the closer we are, the closer we are to getting answers, the closer we are to getting help. And so it's important that we try to get closer to Him. Jesus invited His disciples to come in chapter 9, in verse 1. He said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, that there be some of them that stand here which shall not taste death till they have seen the kingdom of heaven come with power. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh with Him Peter and James and John and leadeth them up into a high mountain apart by themselves. And it says He was transfigured before them. And what that means is that He revealed some of the glory that He had, some of the brilliance. The Bible tells us that He appeared so white, so pure. It's kind of like radiation, the brightest lights that you could imagine. That's how Jesus appeared to His disciples. But you know, not every disciple had that opportunity. There were only some. Peter, James, John, come with me, Jesus said. Now, Peter, James, John, they all had the opportunity to say, oh, Lord, you know, this is a bad week for me. I've got so many things going on. I've got this problem and that problem, and this person expects me to do this, and somebody else expects me to do that. And you know, they could have just stayed behind. But when God calls you and He leads you, He's leading you to something better. Don't ever turn it down. Don't ever turn it down. When God says, I want you to come to me and come closer to me, there is something wonderful up ahead that God is going to bless you with. Let's see what that is. In verse 3, His raiment, that's His clothing, became shining, exceedingly white as snow, so that no fuller on earth can white them. And there appeared unto them Elijah with Moses. Now, Elijah and Moses lived hundreds and hundreds of years before that. What were they doing there? Well, the Bible says, whosoever believeth in me shall never die. Moses and Elijah, even though they have burial places on the earth, their soul and spirit was very much alive. And God brought them there so that Peter, James, and John could see all the faith that they had was real. They could see these men, and they knew that everything they had been taught about the afterlife was true, because there was Elijah, there was Moses with Jesus. Jesus leads us into a higher experience with God. And we should not be satisfied with being an average Christian. We need to go higher. We need to get stronger, especially in this day and time. You know, if you have an enemy that is powerful, and that enemy is going to come against you, you better be stronger than he is. It doesn't take much for a person to look out into the world and see how the enemy is coming against Christians, how the enemy is trying to tempt them, distract them, pull them away. And that's the reality that we face every day. But God wants us to be faithful and stronger than the enemy. Let's take a look at Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. God has a higher calling for every person. Sometimes there are moms that say, you know, my life hasn't been very much. I haven't accomplished much. I've had kids and I haven't gotten an education and I haven't gotten the skills of a good job. But you know, that doesn't matter. I don't think Mary Magdalene ever went to college. Matter of fact, I doubt she even graduated anything close to high school. But there she was with Jesus. And she was blessed. And she was encouraged by him. And she had a tremendous influence over people because she loved the Lord. And she determined to come closer to him. You look at all the women in the Bible who followed Jesus. I doubt you'd find any that studied anything about doing that. They simply realized, there is Jesus, he is leading, and I'm going to follow. That's simple, isn't it? There's Jesus, he is leading, and I'm going to follow. That is so simple. And yet, it brought these women into a place of tremendous influence. They had tremendous influence over so many people. And it didn't take a college education to get there. In Mark chapter 1, let's take a look at verse 16. It says, now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, come ye after me, and I will make you become fishers of men. I will make you become fishers of men. They made their livelihood by catching fish. They probably came from families that had fished for centuries. And their parents and their grandparents and their great-grandparents all down the line, they did the same thing. They were good at what they did. They caught fish. And they caught a lot of it. But now Jesus said, I want you to come follow me. And since he was leading the way, we find Andrew and Peter and James and John and all these that were there decided, okay, Jesus is calling us. He's leading the way. We're going to follow. There's nothing complex about that. Look what it says in the next verse. Verse 18. Straight away, they forsook their nets and followed him. They forsook their nets and followed him. You know, there's nothing complicated about getting victory in Jesus. We know we have an enemy out there. The devil's out to get us. But we also know is greater is he that is in the Christian. That's the Holy Spirit in the Christian than he that is in the world. So who has greater power, the devil or the believer? The believer does. We have greater power. We can overcome the temptations. We can overcome the problems. I know sometimes our young people have to deal with situations where there's a lot of arguing going on all the time. There's drunkenness. There's disappointments in people. And sometimes they just want to go to their room and cry or just close the door and just be by themselves. But you know, Jesus calls us to a higher level with Him. He calls us to come closer to Him. And when we do, He blesses us with power that can overcome all the problems and difficulties. There was a preacher by the name of Jack Hiles. Some of you know that name. Jack Hiles was at First Baptist in Hammond, Indiana for many years. And as a young child, his mother was an alcoholic. His father constantly beat his mother. His father also was an alcoholic. And so the grandmother came along and she said, "Let me take little Jack, and I want him to come to me and be with me." Now, the grandmother was a Christian, and she loved the Lord. And she knew that if she allowed the Holy Spirit to work through her, that Jack, little Jack at the time, she could influence him for the Lord. And so she pulled him away from the parents and said, you come live with me. And he did. And she used to get magazines. Now, I don't know if they still have the same advertisements in them. But Jack Hiles tells about his earliest memories. He said, "I was just 4 or 5 years old." And he says, "I remember my grandmother getting a magazine, just tearing off the advertisement that had, you know, that glass of alcohol with the nice ice in it, and it looked so refreshing and everything. It's trying to tempt people to get into drinking." And he says, "I remember my grandmother tearing that advertisement out and throwing it on the ground." And he says, "She's just a little old woman. She's a little gray-headed woman." And he said, "She would get on that magazine and jump up and down on that magazine and say, 'Booze is bad, booze is bad.'" And then she'd tell little Jack, "Jack, you go do it." And little Jack would go over and he'd jump up on the magazine and jump up and down, "Booze bad, booze bad." He says he never touched a drop in his life. He says that made such an impression upon him. God used that grandmother. That had a tremendous impact on his life. And later he grew up. And as those of you who know about his story, you know that he followed the Lord, became a very effective preacher, and God used him to bring many souls to know Jesus Christ as Savior. You see, Jesus was leading, and that grandmother followed. Jesus was leading, and little Jack followed. Doesn't matter what age you are, Jesus will lead you. Now, there's another scripture over in Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. I want you to see this. I'm going to need some help illustrating this, though. Matthew chapter 18. I want you to take a look at verse 2. Jesus called a little child unto him. Now wait a second. We just got through reading where Jesus called disciples unto him, grown-ups, adults. Now he's calling children, isn't he? Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and come as this little child, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." Has to be done that way. I'm going to need some help on this. Where's James? Where's James? Is James back there? Okay. Is he shy? All right. Okay. All right, one of you come. Okay. All right, let me get down here. All right, come on over here. All right, now. Okay, stand up. Okay, now, we just read a story about Jesus calling children to him. All right, now, first thing he said was come. You came, right? Okay, why don't you come over here? Okay, then it says he set them in the midst of them. You notice all it took was me just moving him. He was willing to come, wasn't he? He came exactly where I asked him to come. All right? This is exactly what Jesus was talking about in that scripture in Matthew 18. Good job. Three points. Number one, Jesus called, people answered. Secondly, Jesus set him. He moved him from place to place. And the child followed whatever he said to do. And then you'll notice a little further down the humbleness that is involved. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same as the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Jesus leads us to good things, but we have to follow. First of all comes the call. Then we have to allow Jesus to lead us. Now, we live in a world where the devil has gotten a hold of the education system. And some of you young people are going to hear in school that there are a lot of religions. You need to listen to all of them. Well, I'll tell you what, there's one true way to heaven, and God says it's the only way. And they may teach you about a whole lot of different ways, and they may encourage you. Here, come this way, come that way. They may even say, you know what, science says that there is no God. They might even say that. But you know, science sometimes can get you into trouble. I've got a clip. Can we do just the one first?
Which one?
The GPS?
Yes.
Okay. Some of you young people don't know what GPS is, but it's a way that science has figured out. You can tell where you are. If you have a cell phone, believe it or not, scientists can figure out where you are. Or at least they say that they can. But sometimes they make really big mistakes. And you can't always count on science to be telling you the truth. Let's see that news article.
Divers just lights. Pulled an SUV from the Mercer Slough. Welcome back. I'm Molly Shen.
And I'm Mike Dardis. Three women escaped the vehicle, and they're blaming bad GPS for leading them right into danger. Come before's John Flick, live now with the latest. Good morning.
Good morning, Mike and Molly. Well, the women are okay. I talked with one of their coworkers who tells me they're in town for a conference. They were on this road right here late last night, got lost. Well, they drove right into the slough and just kept on going.
Members of the Mercer Island dive team on a mission. Get to a Mercedes submerged in the slough. It's an SUV recovery in murky water. Soon, they're all hooked up, and after several starts and stops, the tow truck does its work, slowly pulling the vehicle to dry land. How this all happened is quite a story of getting lost and apparently bad GPS directions.
In sitcom parodies of something like this, and to actually see it's surprising.
Bellevue fire officials admit this can be a confusing area in the dark.
I don't know why they wouldn't question driving into a puddle that doesn't seem to end.
I talked to the coworker of the women who says they're in town for a conference, had dinner last night, and were headed back to their hotel in Bellevue. Just after midnight, they took a wrong turn and relied on GPS.
They were trying to reroute their path and found this boat launch near the entrance to I-90 here at South Bellevue and just kept driving into the water.
He says one of the women immediately jumped to safety.
And we understand the other two women tried to stay with the SUV as long as they could, standing on the side door frames, but they finally had to wade to safety when the vehicle kept drifting out farther into the slough.
Now they're left with a washed-out rental vehicle and a GPS system that might not have quite lived up to its promise.
Okay, thank you. Guys, if you want to sit over here so you can see the screen better, come on over here now. As you can see, science isn't perfect. Doesn't always tell the truth. These four women could have died that day if that water had been deeper. But you see, they were following the GPS. Science says it's perfect. Science says that this is where you are, and they needed to make a left-hand turn. That's what science said. And they took the left-hand turn and went right into the water. Now, there are a lot of people that try to influence us. The world is filled with people today, teachers, friends, acquaintances, sometimes even relatives, who try to say, go in the wrong direction. It's going to be okay. Everything's going to be fine. And they actually encourage people to go in that wrong direction. But they don't know. They don't know themselves. But they've been taught, hey, this is what you need to do. And so they're so confident. They're so sure. And then sometimes they try to just confuse you by throwing all sorts of things. There's a proverb, Proverb 3, verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lead not unto thine own understanding. Trust in the Lord. Let him be your guide. Many years ago, Dan Craig and I, on our first trip to Ghana, we went over and we had an automobile accident. The car was spun around several times. We got hit on the side, and the Lord protected us. None of us was hurt, but we still hadn't reached where we were supposed to go, and it was dark, and we were in an area where there, if you're in an accident, people will come and try to steal everything you have, and so we were told, hey, we need to get walking now, before the crowd comes. And so we started walking. And we had a guide ahead of us. He knew exactly where to go. And I remember walking over boards, just narrow boards, and underneath was a big ravine. And then we go over a little hill, and then another board, and there was water around. And I remember going through that. We could hardly even see. But we followed our guide. And that guide led us to a safe house that had gates, was protected, and we were invited inside and we had dinner. And we're just very thankful that we got through whatever that was. We heard people following us. We heard people trying to distract us. But we made it over all those boards and up those hills and finally into the house of safety because we had a leader that knew where he was going. Later on, we found out that it was the city dump and that there were a lot of people out there who would beat you up, mug you, steal everything that you had. And the Lord got us through safely because we had a leader. It's an exciting thing and a real truth that we can have Jesus leading us in every aspect of life. And regardless of what anybody in the world has to say, Jesus is still the only way to get to heaven. The only way. I want to share with you a video. The first one is about a road that is called Death Road. And it deals with a highway where there are more people killed per square mile than any other place in the country, any other place in the world, excuse me. And after you see it, I think you'll understand why. Let's play that for that next one. Look how far down that is on that road. Okay. Do you get the general picture?
Yes.
Now, imagine that road if it had landmines. Believe it or not, that's your life. Your life is filled with all those landmines, narrow road, and there are an awful lot of people who think they can get to heaven on their own. You can't. There's only one way, and that's if Jesus leads. I want you to see the next video of all the people trying to tell this driver what they think is the right way, and they're wrong. Okay. Notice the bus. Bus full of people, and they're all people telling him, come on, it's okay, come on. Did you see all those people saying, it's okay, come on? They were flagging on. There are so many people, it may be relatives, it may be teachers, it may be other people in school that are telling you, you need to follow me, you need to do this. Jesus said, follow him. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is the only way to salvation. Don't let anybody fool you, or it ends up in disaster. You're on this highway of life. The road is landmined. Only Jesus knows the way. Only Jesus can get you to heaven. One last short video. Here's a truck. Watch how they try to help this person. Romans chapter 2 and verse 4, it says, despiseth thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads us to repentance. A lot of people leave off the word repentance when it comes to salvation, and they think all you need to do is want to go to heaven and God will get you there. Well, you know, if you go back to the time of Noah, when those rains started coming, now Noah and his family were already in the ark. God shut the door. Nobody was going in. When that rain started coming and the waters started bubbling out underneath the earth, and the waters started rising and rising, and before very long, there wasn't any mountain, no hill that a person could get onto where they weren't going to drown because the water kept coming higher and higher. Don't you think every one of those would say, you know, I want to live. I want to survive. Every one of those people would want to continue on, would want to be saved from that flood. But it was too late. There comes a point, and God makes it very clear in the Bible, where God's going to shut the door to salvation in the end times. People are no longer going to have the opportunity to be saved. So it's important for you to make your decision to receive the Lord, because for all the talk that people give about, oh, I know the way, I know the way, Jesus still says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He's your only hope for salvation. That's just the reality of it. Life itself teaches you that there are many people teaching many different ways. Doesn't take much to figure that out. People have tried to influence you. But when Jesus says, come, I'll lead you. I'll save you. I'll give you life. He's the one you need to listen to. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and your hearts as Dan comes. We're going to have an invitation in a moment. Maybe some of you here today finally realize that outside of Jesus Christ, your pathway is filled with landmines. And you've already experienced the hurt and the pain of some things just blowing up in your face, the disappointments of not getting where you wanted to go. God provides a new life for you, and He provides the leadership. And this is one thing that I was so thankful for this Thanksgiving, that Jesus is providing leadership. Jesus is our leader, and we need to follow Him. I want to encourage you, if you've never really received Him as your Savior, to first of all, repent of your sins. Now, what that means is you don't want to do them anymore. You don't want to do them anymore. And you tell the Lord this. The Bible says, from the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. So from your heart, God wants you to reach out to Him today and receive Him as your Savior and Lord. Father, we thank You for Your precious word, for the work of Your Holy Spirit. We thank You, Lord, for each person who's here today. Children, young people, adults. Father, I pray that You might express to them right now the reason You went to the cross. Help them to understand Your great love for them. And Father, as they comprehend that You do love them, that they would reach out by faith and claim You as their Savior and their Lord, trusting You, putting their faith in You, and repenting of their sins. Father, I pray that there would be those here today who would have the joy of being able to leave, knowing that You have forgiven them and given them new life. Father, bless each one today who will let You lead them as their Savior. Father, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand, shall we? We invite you to come at the invitation. If you have made a decision for the Lord Jesus Christ today, would like to come and pray, I want to invite you to come. If there are other areas in your life that you need to pray about, commitments to the Lord, a deeper walk with the Lord, we invite you to come as well.